We're speaking now with Mark Sauter. He is a Republican candidate for House seat A in our legislative District 1, and in fact, he is as well the incumbent there. Mark, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Oh, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate this time. Thank you.
Well, even though you're the incumbent, let's assume there are some voters out there that may not be well acquainted with you. Why don't you tell us a bit about your background, how long you've lived here, how you wound up here?
Sure. Full disclosure, I'm from Southern California. I was born and raised there in the 60s. I'm 66 now. In the 60s, I came up here with my parents to Priest Lake and really fell in love with the place. Came back in the early 90s when I was still in the middle of my career in Southern California and found some property that I loved. So I bought some property in 1993 in Sagal. A small forest, 45 acres. So I've been a family, had a family tree farm since then. And I love it. So I finally retired in 2011 and came up here, bought a house in early 2012. I spent my career in the fire service in the Southern California area. I went from firefighter to paramedic and served as a fire chief for 8.5 years. I was very active in my community service clubs and all of that, and to do everything I can to give back to my community. So I've had a lifetime of community service and public service. When I came up here, I got involved with the local fire department, Sandpoint Fire at that point, and then continued to be involved with Selkirk. Immediately got involved with one of the high school here and did projects with them. I was never really a parent, but I've been active with them. In fact, the one that put the chuck wagon together, you might see it at the football game. Mm. So a couple years ago.
Are you flipping burgers?
Yeah, I still flip burgers. I think I've been doing it for 10 years. So okay. If you see me at a Bulldog football, if you look for the cook in the football games, that's me or one of them. So anyway, I've just stayed real active in my community, just here, just like I did when I worked. I've been here since 2012 and I love it here. Mm. So. I have a house in the rural part of Dover and stay pretty active working on my own house. So that's really it. I serve in the legislature. I've done that for 2 years. And I'm looking forward to trying to get reelected so I can go back and do a few things that I think still need to be done, and then I'll be done. Hmm. So.
Okay. Well, you kind of answered the why are you running question. There's still some things you want to do.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You want me to, real quick... Since I have a experience with emergency services, to me, and I think it's well known, we have some work to do on our EMS service delivery here. We can, statewide, we can make some improvements in that and take care of issues. And then our rural fire districts, there are certain state statutes that prohibit them really working together and coming up with better ways to provide fire protection. So I've worked on that. Actually, I worked on both those projects for a long time, and especially on the fire district issue since December. And we just ran out of time in this session. So I'd really like to come back and be able to change some state statutes so the fire district could really provide a better service. Mm-hmm. So that, and I'd like to see us still make some more property tax changes and even take a whack at the grocery tax as well.
So, well, where do you, okay, let's go ahead and dive in on those couple of issues there. What would you like to see change with property tax?
I think we could do better when it comes to averaging out that people still get spikes in their property tax. We were successful in reducing it last session or last year. I think many people saw a 15% reduction in their property taxes, which I think is a good first step. But we still, I think, could do some things about averaging the values out over time so people don't get those spikes. And I think that would be one thing for sure that we could do. That's really the issue is how you can flatten out those property tax issues. We've already started in this session, this last session, running some funding for school facilities and using sales tax money for that. And I think that's a step in the right direction as well, and not to continue to go back to the property owners for for
kind of
funding.
Kind of relieve the burden on property tax owners and try to shift more of that onto the sales tax.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So, and I think that was a good first step, but we have a ways to go. We have a, you know, pretty big backlog of school facility needs in our state. But last session we did, you know, just recently we wrapped up and we made a good first step towards that. I think our local fire or our local school district LPO will get approximately $14 or $15 million. I think the Boundary County School District will pick up about $5 million, and I think West Bonner out in Priest River will get about $3.5 million. So they can use that money for facilities. It won't fill the whole need, but it's a start, and we can see what else we can do.
Mm-hmm. That's specifically related to the property tax.
Right.
Yeah. Because I'm going to circle back on House Bill 521, which is going to inject a whole bunch of money into facilities
right.
for the state. But we'll come back on that one because you did mention the grocery tax. Right now, there is a tax on groceries in Idaho. If you're a resident, you get a tax credit. But where do you stand on continuing the grocery tax or increasing the credit, or what's your thinking there?
Well, we haven't changed the credit for a while now. It is a funding source for the state. It's one of the few ways that we get to tax people that come in and use our services. So that's a tough
visitors, for instance, visitors. Or part-time right. residents. Yeah.
So that's a tough thing to replace mm-hmm. and say, well, we don't want it anymore because there's a lot of revenue for the state there.
That does come from out-of-state people.
Right. And in, they use our services. They use our roads. They use everything else. And really the only thing they may pay is fuel tax. So it is a way to tax our tourists and for use that, you know, reasonably tax them for the use that they do here. Mm-hmm. So that's an option, but I think what, you know, whether it's bring up that threshold or try and do something about reducing the cost of it or trying to eliminate it, but there's millions of dollars of state revenue that's involved, so having some kind of a tax rebate, a better tax rebate may be our better play. But I'm willing to look at all the different options and see what we can come up with to try and remedy it. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, we're gonna circle back on issues here in just a second, but the legislature typically is in session for only about 3 to 4 months, January through March. This year concluded in April. But if you're elected, of course, you're representing your constituents year round. Raises the question, if elected, how much time, of course you're already elected, how much time are you devoting to your office, I guess? And is that working out in your personal life aside from what you do in the legislature?
I can't say that it's a full-time job, but I do spend quite a bit of time trying to be involved in the community, whether it's the schools or whether it's involved in public events. Right now I'm following up on 3 different issues. I have a meeting at 1 o'clock today to talk about snowmobile and off-road access into the Selkirks with IDL and a bunch of state entities. So that's an issue that I'm following up on for our district. There's another one on the lake levels, and we all know right now there's a lake level issue that we have. So yesterday I spent several hours on the phone talking to different people, other officials, and then our federal people about the lake level and what we can do about that. So that's just what you do. So anyway, try and stay active in my community. The short answer is stay active in my community, and then also try and understand all the local issues that we may have and what needs to be followed up on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is a year-round gig.
Yes.
Well, and on that lake level issue, if listeners aren't acquainted with that, they're bringing the lake level up much more slowly than usual this year because they have problems at the Albany Falls Dam with the release gates. Yeah. And that's really kind of unresolved at the moment, as I understand.
Yesterday I spent time talking to the dam people about it. And also we can talk about the Highway 95 issue. But it sounds like, I'm trying to get something in the newspaper about it. The gate operation they're holding the water down. You know, the short answer is they're holding the water down right now, so they don't have to move the gates around much. So they're trying to keep it to where the dam the hydropower part of it exhausts most of the
takes
water.
Takes the water, yeah.
Takes the water now, and that they don't have to use all 12 or all 10 gates. So right now they've just opened one, and they'll start doing that today to relieve some of the volume of water that's coming through. But there's no, yesterday they said there was no problem with the dam gates as far as holding back full pool. So really it's a matter of they're out of an abundance of caution, they're holding back filling the lake because they want to have, so if we do have a rain on snow event, that they don't have to use all the gates. They've had some issues with the quality or the condition of the gates and raising and lowering them. So there's no imminent threat of a collapse or a failure, but moving the gates around is what they're trying to not do right now. Mm-hmm. So holding the water down and flushing it through the hydroelectric system is an easier, just easier on parts, if you will. Mm-hmm. So that's what they've chosen to do.
Yeah, they were having a problem with, they identified a problem with one specific gate and they wanted to check the other gates. But your sense from your most recent conversation is they are going to get it up to full pool. It's just taking longer.
Right. And yeah. And I express that. I'm a boater too. Mm-hmm. So I go out a lot, almost every morning for 100 mornings a year on the water. So I have a keen interest in it for my, you know, for myself, but more so for the community because it's been said our economy rises and falls with the level of the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
the earlier
especially
we
in summer, you bet. Yeah.
As soon as we can get that up, the better we're going to be. Mm-hmm. So I'm anxious to get it there safely.
Okay, so let's get into the issues in your house race that you would like voters to be considering. What do you think the big issues are?
I think we really have to look at it holistically. I think we have to look at our community as and what's it take to sustain it. So for me, I think for us to have a community that actually is a living place, we need to have a good education system, we need to have a good healthcare system, we need to have good public safety, we need to have good infrastructure to support all of that, and then we need to be cognizant of the need to have a business, you know, business and commerce system. So if we have all of those, then we have a place that we can raise our families, we can live long term. Having to go to Coeur d'Alene for health purposes is not something that I don't think anybody really wants to do that on a regular basis. So we need to be careful with our healthcare system here, make sure we have those facilities and that they work. We know we closed the labor and delivery unit down at Bonner General. So now we have people all over this county and county north of here, boundary, going down to Coeur d'Alene for labor and delivery, or to Newport, Washington, or over to Libby. So I think healthcare is best when it's closest to the people. So we're trying to deal with that.
As a legislative issue, one of the things that have been cited, the hospital cited it, Bonner General, when they decided to discontinue labor and delivery, was a political environment that they feel is making it difficult for them to get obstetricians.
Right.
Do you see a way for the legislature to address that?
The legislature this year specifically stayed away from really dealing with the abortion issue. Mm-hmm. And they... primarily because there was a Supreme Court, you know, session in April where they heard a case of Idaho versus the federal government over EMTALA, which is the emergency medical practice emergency procedures you can deliver out of an emergency room. So they're waiting on that for any feedback. We were able to pass three different women's health bills this year. Took some work, but we got through. We were able to extend the Medicaid coverage, which may cover up to 70% of our moms with care instead of finishing after 2 to 3 months. Now it extends down up to 12 months. So that's a good thing for women's health. We also extended birth control pills from 3 months to 6 months. So that was a help. I'm trying to lost my on the third one, it'd come back to me. But we're trying to, you know, slowly but surely make some improvements to our women's health system so people can be comfortable here. And it is true, there are no OBGYNs or maternal fetal specialists in our area. They've moved out, and that's been a problem in our state.
For young families.
So back to what I started with, which is, we have to deal with our healthcare system. If we're going to have a community that thrives, we need to deal with that, because otherwise people are not as likely to raise their young families.
Well, part of the genesis of the issue is that Idaho has a near total ban on abortion. And where do you stand on that? Do you think that there should be any tweaks on that?
I think people are looking, and I think our medical providers are looking for a women's health exception. There is dialogue that's already in our state system, if you talk to the right people, but it's wound up in a court decision and it's not in statute. And it's been said that, well, you just need to read the court's opinion and that'll give you your direction. Our medical providers are not willing to do that. They're looking for clear guidance from the legislature on what they can and cannot do. And I think we owe it to our providers to give them clear direction on what is and is not okay. So I think we need to work on that to make sure they know what the rules of engagement really are. No one's ever been charged no doctor's been charged with any kind of a crime with any kind of a women's health issue. However, I think, they provide a lot of service to us. We need to give them
perceive it as a threat that they could be charged.
They see it as a threat, and I think we should be able to clear that up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have just a few minutes left here. Anything else that you want to mention as issues for people to take?
I would say our tax situation is always an issue. Our women's health issue is always here. If we want to have a sustainable community, then we need to provide good health care here. And we need to have a place where families are comfortable to live and grow. So, and then also a good education system.
Okay, I'm going to rattle off in the few minutes we have left a couple of the bills that came up this last session, and I'd like to know where you stood on those. Governor Brad Little signed House Bill 521. It's legislation under which Idaho will spend an additional $1.5 billion over the next decade to help fund building construction and maintenance for schools around the state. Did you support or oppose that bill?
I supported it and think it were due. Mm-hmm. For the state to start helping with school buildings. So I wholeheartedly supported that.
Okay, another one was House Bill 415. It concerned carrying concealed guns in schools. It would allow public school employees with concealed weapons permits to bring concealed firearms onto school grounds. The House passed the bill, but it didn't make it out of the State Senate Affairs Committee. So that would have been one you would have voted on. How did you go there?
I voted for it. It was really a touchy subject. There are school districts in our state that do allow their employees to carry.
Yeah, right now it's actually a local decision.
It's a local decision. And so I didn't feel like I could say, well, there's just no darn way that we could do that, because schools are doing it now and you don't hear of any problems.
But why not leave it be
a local issue. So what I chose to do was say, okay, it's possible. What I wasn't successful in doing is getting the training involved and getting a lot of other pieces added to that legislation. So I worked on, if we got it through the House, which it did, what can we do? And so I was involved on the positive end to see if we could add training and add some local control issues to it. And see if we can make it better. And it just didn't get out of the Senate. But.
Okay, we are going to run out of time here, but let's squeeze in one more. So there was a proposed House bill concerning the initiative process. That's House Bill 652, were to create a public review period for signatures submitted on an initiative petition. And the net effect would be to make the initiative process more difficult. And the House passed the bill, didn't get out of the Senate again, but how did you vote on that one?
My short answer is I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure I voted against all of the changes to the initiative process. It's already pretty darn difficult to get an initiative on the ballot, and I didn't think it was necessary. So, but I'd have to go back and check for sure. But I've tried to
generally
I've tried to stay out of the citizens process.
Okay. Well, that raises the question. There is an open primaries initiative that apparently is going to be on the ballot. Now, they're trying to certify the signatures now, but they think they got enough or well more than they needed for that. And it would end Idaho's closed Republican primary so that all voters, regardless of their party affiliation, could vote in primary elections. And that's going to come up for a vote in November, assuming it gets on the ballot. And what's your position on that one?
I've been neutral on it because, to me, that's a citizen's issue. I do not think that elected officials should be weighing in on that. There's a time and a place for elected officials to weigh in on it. I don't think this process is the time to do that, so I've stayed out of it. We did vote on the floor. I think it was last year in the House. We voted against the ranked choice voting, but that was before all of this really started. It was unbeknownst to me, but I didn't then believe that the people in our district would like the ranked choice voting, so that's how I voted on that. But subsequent to that, we've had the initiative process.
And there's more to talk about, of course, but we're out of time. Mark Sauter, you're the incumbent for House Seat A and District 1. How will people that are still weighing how they want to vote get in touch with you if they want to find out more?
I have a website that I'm happy to, you can look at.
Yeah.
I think it's marksauterforidaho.com. Mm-hmm. You can use that. I get messages all the time. I'm around town all the time. I have some Facebook ads that are going out.
You have a Facebook page.
Facebook page. Mm-hmm. For the life of me, I can't remember my Facebook page this second.
Probably has something in Mark Sauter.
It's out there. And I try and answer that. I've tried to, attend the forums, and I'm around town, and I'm still knocking on doors. Mm-hmm. So I'm around.
Well, as we record this, we're 1 week out from the election. Early voting's happening right now, though. Anyways, I want to say, Mark Sauter, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you.